It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
So this is for all of you who have questions. Please feel free to send your questions and we'll schedule them accordingly. We'll find you pastors who will be able to answer your questions. All of you, feel free to ask your questions. Do not worry. Nobody's going to say, we cannot answer your question. How dare you ask that question? Bring the questions. We'll find you a pastor and we'll have this slot every day at 30 minutes after 12. It is, after all, 30 minutes after 12. Joining me now is Pastor Sakile Masilela, who's going to be answering our questions for this week. And it's good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the invite.
So yesterday's question, which I would ask that we start with and then we'll move on to today's question, was, yesterday's question was, is God racist?
The simple answer to that is no.
Okay.
There is no inference of God being racial in the Bible. What you do find happening is that God speaks to a nation. A nation has many tribal groups and ethnic groups, and he speaks to that nation, and that nation is called Israel, and he has chosen Israel to be the one to represent him as such. And so what you then find further on is that we know that Jacob is a Hebrew boy,
right?
Should I say he's a Semitic guy,
right?
But what you then find in the Israel movement is that when they are in Egypt, there are many people who are Egyptians who are influenced to be with the Israelites because of what God was doing to Israel. And when they left Egypt, some of those Egyptians and other people from other nations moved together with Israel, and they were a mixed multitude right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So God doesn't really have any favorites, because it seemed as though he has favorites with the nation of Israel.
No. God does not have favorites. We even see it in how Jesus interacts with the crowd in the Gospels, where he finds different people from different nations or from different people groups, and he speaks to them particularly to their circumstance and answers their troubles that they have in their own personal lives. So he answers all personal problems in a general stance,
right,
but of course in a specific version, because you have come to him.
So how do we explain God selecting these Hebrews to be a nation? It seems as though that's partiality, and if we were to talk to that partiality, that perhaps would explain why people think God is racist. Why would God select one and leave others unselected? Why would God have covenants of circumcision with one and leave other nations without a covenant with them? That does speak to an allegation of being partial, even if it may not be race, but it's still partiality. And if we are to attribute race to the Hebrew, and I like the fact that you call them Semitic, that's a race, isn't it, Mfundisi?
Well, if you would see it as a race, it is very problematic in the sense that Semitic people is a wider region, all right?
Okay.
And in it being a wide region, you have got dark-skinned people, you've got light-skinned people.
Right.
You have got... So there's a mix.
Yeah.
Firstly, of the people in the area. Secondly, there are trade agreements between these different nations that interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in those trade agreements that happen to these people, that there is new children that are born to these people because of these trade agreements and all of that. So the question then would be, should God not answer those people just because they don't have the skin color of the people that he apparently called? No.
Right, right.
On the other hand as well, God chooses whomever he wants to choose. And that is his decision based on the criteria that he has recognized within the person. Because you then find in the Bible there, where the Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So it's not Noah's choosing, or it is not Noah's being that makes him be eligible, but it is God's sight and God's choosing that makes Noah eligible.
Which then makes God very, very prejudiced then, if we're going to change. Let's swap out the word racist. Then God is prejudiced. He's discriminating. He discriminates in favor of others and in against others.
No. What you actually find is that God chooses based on what he recognizes would be a very good... Or maybe let me put it. Maybe put it in this kind of way.
Right.
If a person chooses a particular car, it is not because they don't like other cars, but they have a preference for a particular car because of a particular function that they wish the car to be occupying. Like, for instance, if I choose a convertible car, it is because I want to just travel with my wife, if I have a wife.
Do you have a wife, or do you not have a wife, Mfundis? Okay, fine. Move on, Mfundis.
So when that happens, is that you open the sunroof so that you can experience the breeze together with your wife or your partner, or just to have a change of car that allows you to experience the car and the breeze outside whilst being in your car. So there are different reasons why God does certain things, and in each and every time he does a particular thing.
I understand, Mfundis. I have no problem with that, and that's fair and good. But what about those cars that are not convertible? What about those that have not been selected? What about them? And in the full
God
context...
God does choose them.
Yeah.
If you read the whole Bible, you recognize that God chooses different people who come from different walks and circumstances, and he uses them to represent him in different forms and ways.
Okay.
For instance, he uses Ruth, all right, to bring about the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You find that David is a person that was thought to have been born out of a pagan woman.
Right.
And his circumstances are not absolutely great. He was a shepherd boy. He was neglected. He was not even recognized within his own family. And he's chosen. I mean, who's this? Elisha as well. Those people are people who come from environments that we would not necessarily recognize. And there are people as well who have come from circumstances that are recognized, and God uses them for a specific purpose at that particular time.
Yeah.
So there's an intention with God for each and every segment of each and every person that he chooses to represent him.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave that one there, Mfundis. Thank you very much for that. But I move on to today's question. I just want to point out, Mfundis, that you just said something that was very mind-blowing. You brought in extra biblical material into our conversation about David's parentage. The Bible does not bring questions about David's mother. This extra biblical material that says perhaps the reason why he was a shepherd boy, that is why he was ostracized by his father, Jesse, and his brothers. But the Bible doesn't say that. So you
we'll find another time to speak about it.
Okay, this is fine. As long as we acknowledge it, Mfundis, that's fine.
No, definitely.
Yeah, let's talk about today's question then, Mfundis. Our today's question is, how do we understand miracles in today's generation? Are they no longer real?
Okay, look, the Bible stipulates that, one, miracles are for those who do not believe, so that they can believe. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, Bible cautions us and says, be watchful of miracles. Essentially what the Bible teaches is that by their fruits you will know them.
Mm.
That means recognize certain actions that people are going to do and look at the outcome of their fruit, of what they're doing. So, then in Revelation, there's a caution to say, in the last days, the devil will do signs and wonders which can easily be translated to be miracles, to deceive many.
Right.
And so there is relevance to signs and wonders and miracles, because that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, you must not look at the miracle in and of itself, but you must look at the repercussions of the miracle. Like, for instance, if I ask a lady out, or I get into a car to try and spin the car, what are my actions? The actions are, I want to spin the car around and probably mess up the suspension of the car, the tires of the car, and many other things. So you must look at what God is asking us is, don't just look at the miracle, but look at the continuum of the miracle together with its finality. And based on this finality, that will tell you the intentions of the miracle.
So you can understand perhaps what the person who's asking this question is asking, because this is a practice that we saw in the Old Testament. Elijah, Elisha, and all the other prophets performed miracles in one way, shape, or form. And then we see Jesus in the New Testament continuing with the practice of demonstrating miracles. And then his disciples continued to perform miracles. And then the apostles themselves perform miracles. It would appear as though miracles are a biblical phenomenon, both in both testaments. But now the Christian church, the modern Christian church, quite frankly, even the early Christian church, did not seem to have this exhibition of miracles. And hence, perhaps, the person is asking, why don't we see people who are supposed to be doing what Jesus did, not doing what Jesus did, like performing miracles?
All right. Maybe let's add a spanner in the works and say, even Jesus said, you're going to do far greater things.
Absolutely.
Than me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. The issue is not necessarily that people don't believe in miracles or miracles are not prevalent. However, the church has ran away from miracles on a precautionary basis.
Okay.
To say we need to not focus we should not have our minds focused on miracles, but more on the person of the miracles. So that means we don't focus on the gift, but we focus on the giver.
Mm.
The reason why we do that is so that even if miracles don't happen, our belief is not centered on miracles. But we know that our God, in whom we believe and in whom we worship and we are endeared to, we know he will perform miracles in our lives whether or not we ask him.
Mm.
And even if he does not perform those miracles, we will still stand with him regardless. So the stance that the church has decided to take is more the Hebrew boy stance to say, whether God intervenes or he does not intervene, our belief is in him regardless of his intervention or his non-intervention.
Right.
So that's the reason why then the church is not against miracles, but is a bit precautious.
Yeah.
Cautious with miracles, yes.
So in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this very practice of miracles, or the lack thereof, is very, very obvious, Mfundisi. And
yes.
I'm wondering, is this person not therefore validly asking this question? Because while we see in today's Christianity, we do see churches practicing miracles, but the Seventh-day Adventist Church, very, very apprehensive about practicing miracles. I don't know if you have ever heard of a Seventh-day Adventist Church that performs miracles. Do you know of a church where a pastor would say, come, it's miracle night today? Like Jesus went into this house and brought everyone to perform miracles. Do you know of any Seventh-day Adventist church that did this?
No. The Seventh-day Adventist church shies away from calling people for miracles.
Right.
Because our understanding is we don't have the power for miracles.
Right.
Everything emanates from God and is derived from God.
Hmm.
Okay. So our prayers, the Seventh-day Adventist church encourages us to have a relationship with Jehovah. I mean, with God.
Right.
And when we have a relationship with God, our relationship with God will then determine if the miracle happens or not.
Yeah.
Because the reason why that happens is because there are many texts in the Bible. Of course, right. Unfortunately, okay, maybe let's put it this way. Just because a lot of miracles in the Bible are written down does not mean that a lot of those miracles were public.
Okay.
Yes, there are some that were public, and there are some that were not public. Okay. So because the church does not know which one is going to be public and which one is not going to be public, it is up to the participant to say, this happened when a particular pastor prayed for me at a particular time. For instance, when I used to pastor in Venda, I prayed for a particular lady when I was trying to pray for a particular family in another area. Okay, they had just bought a new car. So I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for this car that they had just bought. Then there was a lady who passed by and said, can you please pray for me?
Mm.
As I prayed for her, later on, years later, again, I then get a report saying that lady said that day when you prayed for her, everything that she was crying about stopped, and she has been in good health ever since that time.
Wow.
So it's not in the person who's doing in the person who's praying or in the person who's acting out the miracle that they the miracle happens, or they should say this is a miracle. No, it is the participant who then says this miracle is a reality. And so what then must happen then to the one who's needing a miracle in a person's in their personal life is that the Bible then encourages us to say in the book of James, whoever needs assistance or whoever is in need of anointing, let them call an elder and let them pray over them and anoint them. That anointing then gives out the miracle that you request from the Lord, because you're asking for intervention from the Lord. And so we are using elements that are suggested by the Bible to have I don't want to use this particular word, but to have a replica of God's presence on our lives in a personal manner by bringing the olive oil onto a person, and so forth, and then the miracle happens. Yes,
got it. Okay, thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your answer. Appreciate your time. See you tomorrow, same time. But tomorrow we'll be just focusing on one question. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Sorry for the long answers as well.
Not a problem for this. As long as we get the answers, that's what we want. You want answers for our listeners, and you're giving them. We appreciate that. Ngozi Mfundisi.
Thank you very much, sir.
That was Pastor Sakile Masilela, who is going to be our Ask a Pastor for this week. And we continue to solicit pastors who will answer questions. Thank you, Mfundisi.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.